Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter since 1987, chronicling the wrestling industry and what a fascinating business it is. And we are here on the midweek flagship, Wednesday, March 15th, 2017, to talk about what's going on in wrestling. We are in the midst of WrestleMania season, but there is a lot else going on too, and we'll touch on that. ROH, TNA, going to war last week, TNA approaching 15th anniversary, relaunching again last week, and ROH with their 15th anniversary pay-per-view featuring the Hardys, a world title change, and more. Nobody better to have with me today on the Midweek Flagship than Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net as the co-host. Jason, welcome back to the livecast.
Hey, Wade. Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Excellent. Good to have you. We will start with some WrestleMania development talk. And we will certainly touch on TNA and ROH and perhaps other topics like Lucha Underground as we go forward. But I do want to give out the phone number here on the show, 515-605-9345. We are live right now at 1:02 Eastern on Wednesday, March 15th. If you're listening to us live, you are invited to participate in the show. Call 515-605-9345 or email the show at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Jason, yesterday I went on a rant at the top of the post-SmackDown episode of the livecast. A number of people on Twitter and email commenting on it. I went, I think, nearly 15 minutes. I know on your report you were not a fan of it either. The camera inside the car. I slept on it. I still am just outraged by it. I'm not outraged, you know, like they, you know, exploited somebody, and you know, it's not like a real life thing, but I'm outraged because they worked so hard to make that seem like real. You know, AJ was so good, Shane was good, Shane's bleeding. They, you know, they went to such trouble. You know, they did whatever they did to that glass to make it shatter. They wanted you to believe in that moment that what we were watching looked authentic and felt authentic, and then and it worked during the live airing, and then they go to commercial, they come back, they show the highlight, and we get the view from inside the car. Now, maybe, you know, maybe there was a microwave in the backseat of the car or something, and somebody hacked it and accident, you know, was filming from inside. I don't know. What was that all about, Jason? What where are you on this?
Oh, it was absurd. If you want to say, hey, we just happened to have a camera there because we were going to shoot right along after the show, fine. Just tell me something. Don't just air this shot. As bad as Impact was last week, SmackDown may have topped it for worst show. That was terrible.
What do you think is happening? I mean, is this the belief? Yeah, it's SmackDown gets to just do its own thing. And Vince gets hands on, and you know, we got to make it special. And they take something that's a really good show, and they decide they have to, you know, jazz it up with sports entertainment-y stuff that is just excessive. I just don't understand the mentality of how they can think, let's make this as realistic as possible with breakaway glass in the windshield, which I'm sure costs some money to, you know, create and put that in there so it would shatter. And they don't do blood a lot on Raw or SmackDown, and they did blood, and then to have that mentality of let's make this real, and then say, hey, I have an idea, let's top it off with a backseat cam of the head going through. It just flabbergasts me that they don't understand. I'm going to resist ranting all over again here, but they don't understand their own narrative structure and how to keep people invested in what's going on.
I'm still just in a state of disbelief over that. It was such a good angle. And, you know, AJ played his part well. They finally give AJ a really serious tone. I can't imagine, like, just being in the room when this idea came up. I mean, who pitches this, and how many people just sit there and play yes man and think that, I mean, there's some intelligent people in the room. They had to know. Do any of them have the guts to stand up and go, this is stupid, guys. Why are we doing this?
Okay, next topic. Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt. That was another big part of my rant. Randy did not explain why he did what he did for, as he put it, months and months and months. And so I had a problem with that. I have a problem with the fact that the championship belt was included in this because they're not talking about it. Doesn't seem like anybody involved in this, Bray or Randy, seem all that focused on the championship. So that's just an extra luggage for Bray in this match to carry to the ring. And then, oh yeah, months and months and months of infiltrating Bray. He succeeds in finally finding out where Sister Abigail's remains are, whatever that was all about. He burns it down, and then we find out 2 weeks later, it all made Bray stronger.
Yeah.
I mean, what? We just did all of this, and the punchline is the babyface just spent however many months, a half a year, doing Bray's evil deeds alongside of him, all so we could burn Sister Abigail in the compound. And the payoff is Bray's like, oh, thank you for making me stronger. And what we get from Randy? A blank stare. I mean, just look, gazing off. It was like Randy zoned out. I mean, there was just, I can't think of a worse way to end what was already a sloppy storyline than what they did last night, Jason.
Just right now across the board in WWE, all of their male singles championships mean nothing. You have Brock wants revenge for his loss. You have a U.S. title situation where Kevin Owens wants revenge. He doesn't really want the U.S. championship. He just wants to take it from Jericho because Jericho cost him his title. You have Randy Orton saying he wants to take everything from Bray Wyatt, including the championship. And then you have Baron Corbin using the same line. It's like these titles are an afterthought.
It's disappointing. Overall grade for WrestleMania, just what did your gut tell you without breaking down all the matches? Overall, though, despite last night's SmackDown, has Vince McMahon and company succeeded in making this a special WrestleMania?
Boy, it's not the most attractive lineup, that's for sure. I think you have a couple of matches on top that feel semi-special. We've already seen Brock and Goldberg, but I still think, you know, it feels special. Taker reigns, and then I think some of the issue is they give so much away now with all the hours of television they have, with all of the, you know, brand-specific pay-per-views. A lot of the undercard to me just feels like something you could see on any WWE pay-per-view.
Yeah. One other opening topic outside of WWE, because I'm sure callers, we'll see, but they generally will lead us back to WWE talk. TNA last week debuted their new era, their new beginning. Bruce Mitchell in this week's Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter writes his column on the Dutch Mantel and Bruce Pritchard promos. As frustrating as SmackDown was last night, was Impact even more frustrating to watch, Jason, or not? Was there some hope there for something fresh?
You know, I gotta say SmackDown was more frustrating because we kind of knew this was coming, you know, based on the spoilers. Even if I just take that out of the equation, I didn't have high hopes for the first edition of Impact, especially when you consider some of the losses, and you had to know that was going to lead to some creative shakeup at the last minute. And to their credit, from talking to people in the company, no one's used that as an excuse so far, but I just didn't have high hopes, and they managed to come in even lower than my expectations with all the announcer bickering and all everything that went on in that show. So, yeah, I came away feeling very disappointed by both, but I guess I lean SmackDown just because it's been the better show. Not just better than Impact, but better than Raw until recently. And all of a sudden now we're getting the Bray Wyatt hocus pocus mumbo jumbo and just all the things that happened on last night's show. SmackDown has taken a turn for the worse. Raw is actually the more consistently entertaining show all of a sudden. And that was a big theme of my audio last night, was what happened to my SmackDown? What are they doing to it?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, from talking to people in TNA, do you have hope? Do you think that they can make this show something that will have a positive buzz and will give TNA an identity and a sense of reason to exist? Or will it be just, you know, some derivative rehashing of some bad but worn out, or some good and worn out, or some always bad ideas that we've seen in previous eras of TNA? Because it's a lot of, it's the same creative people just coming back.
That's just it. Yeah, we've seen this before. And the scary thing about this was watching the show. If someone had told me, yeah, Vince Russo played a part in this, I would have been like, oh, okay. Because everything was so frantic. You know, it was just, it had too many things going on. And so it just really did make me feel like, wow, Dutch Mantel and Jeff Jarrett were at least, you know, more to blame than I think people assumed when Vince Russo was writing the show. Because they must have learned some things from Russo, or they subscribe to many of the same philosophies that he does. And looking, you know, I don't have much hope anyway for this round of tapings. I'm hopeful that they're going to actually listen to the feedback, and they're going to make the right changes for the next set of tapings. I won't get into the spoilers. Not that everything's going to be bad. It's just I think we're destined to hear more 2-hour. Marathons of broadcast team members bickering with one another,
yeah.
making what's happening in the ring feel secondary. There's been so many key departures. I can't say that many of the additions do a whole lot for me. I want to be optimistic, but it's kind of what I was saying going into all of this. Jeff Jarrett's got a lot to prove. You know, I just was never enamored with Jeff Jarrett's creative vision in the past. Yeah, they may have had more viewers on Spike TV, but it always felt like it underachieved.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm not, I don't know that there's anything about last week's Impact that I gave me positive feelings about where they're going. I mean, anyway, all right, well, let's talk, let's keep the conversation going here on the live cast. You can call 515-605. I know. Yes. We'll get there. 515-605-9345. You can call and complain, or you can call and invent a little bit. And we'd love to talk to you. We've got the long list of phone callers already on hold. And when we come back from our first break, we will begin talking to those callers. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. All right, we're back live. This is the PW Torch livecast. I'm Wade Keller, joined by Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net. And we've got an email question, Jason. Let's get to that first, just to surprise people and to get our phone callers all the more worked up. Hey, wait, what about us? This comes from Joe B., VIP member. Just wanted to get your thoughts on two things. First thing, everyone is expecting John Cena and Nikki to win, and then Cena to ask Nikki to marry him. What if they have Maryse pin Nikki and then have Cena blame Nikki and break up with her, leaving her crying in the middle of the ring? Could it be the start of a John Cena heel turn? Jason. Oh, I gotta find myself $10 because I put Jason on hold during the break. Now, there we go, Jason.
No. What is he going to feud with Nikki?
No, then Kurt Angle will come to Nikki's rescue, or AJ Styles will. And AJ and Nikki will have a feud, and it'll turn out that Nikki is JJ's long-lost sister, and it'll be a soap. I don't know.
No, I mean, watching that show, the fact that they replayed Maryse pointing at her wedding ring and saying Nikki will never have one just left me convinced that this thing ends with John Cena on one knee at WrestleMania. If he's not proposing, how does Nikki make it up the ramp not in tears?
She might be crying anyway. Although, you know, maybe Cena performs poorly in the match and Nikki goes, I can do better.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I'm all for it.
after seeing, you know, the kiss. The you know, remember Al Gore kissing Tipper Gore? That's how John Cena is when he kisses Nikki. It just feels like a little too much of a show. It's just,
maybe she'll just be like, you know, John, I've been with you all these years, and I finally get to be in a match with you at WrestleMania, and this is it. Miz and Maryse, I'm out of here.
What do you think of this for John Cena? I mean, we went from, you know, a month ago, it can't be, but I think it's going to be, to is there anything else they might do? And now it's like, we just accept it. Does it feel, you know, we talk about WrestleMania feeling WrestleMania worthy. Is this WrestleMania worthy?
No, not for John Cena. It's a part of the show. It's not that I'm dreading this. It's because I think Miz and Cena just tearing each other down, as awkward as it has been, has also been rather entertaining.
Yeah.
It's like you expect John Cena to be in a big singles match, and there's just no way to spin that this isn't disappointing as far as what you would expect for John Cena on the big stage at WrestleMania. Doesn't mean it can't be fun. Doesn't mean that it can't have the happy ending. How do you think the WrestleMania crowd is going to react if he proposes?
Don't say yes. Don't say yes. Something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe they'll be a
predicted
yes.
They'll chant, just say no.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a little more catchy than don't say yes, I guess. Thanks, Jason. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just say no, or there'll be no, yes, yes chance. There'll be battle chance. I think John Cena will get a kick out of whatever the crowd response is. At least that's how he'll come across. Now,
yeah,
do we have a name for them as a couple yet?
Oh, like God, don't give them
Nikki,
ideas.
Janella? I don't know. Anyway, we've got to see if that happens. Question number two. Wouldn't WrestleMania be better if they had not done AJ Cena yet this year? And Cena won the Royal Rumble and earned a shot against AJ Styles, who was still champion. And Bray and Randy, they did everything that they did. Well, okay, I'd vote for them not to do anything. But let's say they did everything they did with them. But there's no – Randy didn't win the Rumble, and there's no title. And it's just Randy infiltrated, tore down the Sister Abigail compound, and Bray Wyatt – and completely changed Bray Wyatt's character. And they or Bray just disappeared. Like, they haven't seen Bray until WrestleMania. And instead, you just had other people talking about what they're hearing. Or you had Luke Harper, who showed up and just looked spooked, like, you know, something had happened with Luke and Bray. And then Eric Rowan shows up, and his eyes are just wide, like, and they're like, what did Bray contact you? And he can't even speak about it. And then, they announce Randy against Bray. And Randy goes to WrestleMania. Nobody's seen Bray since the meltdown in St. Paul when Randy, you know, burned down his compound on the big screen. And we don't know what Bray's going to show up, and it's a big hook. What happened to Bray? What kind of mindset's is Bray going to be in? What's going to happen to Randy? And there's no title on the line. And Cena against AJ, and then they can just do Nikki Maryse one-on-one if they want to go that route, or save that for a non-WrestleMania pay-per-view. Save the mixed match for a couple months down the line.
Oh, you had me at Cena and Styles. I don't care about Orton and Bray. They've made me stop caring about the WWE Championship. I would like to see Shane just take Cena's place in the mixed tag, and then he can propose to Nikki after the match.
Question number two. Do you think there's a chance Kurt Angle comes out to help Shane beat AJ, setting up a possible Angle-Styles feud?
Possibly. I guess one thing, they tend to foreshadow, so if you start seeing a lot of the footage of Angle and Shane and their past rivalry somehow, then, yeah, I mean, I guess it's not something I've been thinking about, but I think that would be a solid program for Kurt Angle if he is going to return. There's obviously some familiarity there. I would look forward to seeing Kurt in a WWE ring again. I'm not going to complain about seeing Kurt and AJ, but there is part of me that kind of would rather see Kurt, believe it or not, work somebody else, just because we've seen it in TNA so many times, but they're not going to worry about that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought it was the exchange on Bring It to the Table about Shane and AJ was one of the top headlines coming out of that show, Jason. Corey Graves said the prospect of Styles against Shane, quote, does absolutely nothing for me. He said, when you think about Shane's matches, all you remember are the stunts. He said, Styles is an artist, and he can give you a full bell-to-bell cinematic experience, art in its highest form. JBL said, who else can keep up with AJ, though? And Gray said, Cena can. JBL said, Cena's one of the few who can. JBL making excuses, I guess, for Shane. But Corey Graves, pretty blunt about, you know, feeling kind of how I similar to how I feel about Shane, and I think a lot of people feel about Shane being in a match at WrestleMania, period, but especially against AJ Styles. Were you at all surprised that Graves went there on Bring It to the Table?
Mildly. I can't figure out what the plan is for that show. What, how much of it is, hey, you take this viewpoint, I'll take that. You know, kind of the ESPN or even political show approach to things. It seems like at times they're trying to echo what internet fans, if you will, say, and then at others it feels like it's just WWE propaganda, point out what people are saying, and then just completely tear it down with rah-rah WWE garbage. I mean, look at the way they came down on 205 Live. I don't know that they feel that way genuinely or not. They just don't have credibility with me in that format.
Yeah, the attack on 205 Live and JBL's stance was interesting. I'm gonna mark that down to discuss later because I want to get to callers. But yeah, JBL's stance on that is a talking point. All right, well let's introduce callers now, probably for the rest of the way, and we'll begin with let's go to Eric in Columbia, South Carolina. Eric, you'll kick out the caller portion of the show for us. What have you got for us?
Hey, Wade.
Hey.
I agree with your statement. That was one of the things I was going to bring up earlier with SmackDown not being as good recently. I think it seems like McMahon wasn't really paying that much attention to it, and then now we're getting into WrestleMania season, and he said, "Oh, I gotta get in and make sure that we're doing everything right," and it's becoming more like, you know, Raw was a lot last year, where it's just more chaotic in there. So I definitely agree with you on that point.
What else do you have for us?
So I just wanted to ask about Mania this year, similar to last year. We talked about last year. It doesn't feel as feel like it's exciting as a lineup as it has been in the past. I think that, you know, maybe Roman Taker is the most intriguing matchup on there, and then Neville and Aries should be, you know, a good technical matchup, thinking from a wrestling standpoint. But nothing else is really jumping out like hugely at me. It's already a long enough show, but there's still some guys that they haven't done stuff with, like Strowman, Samoa Joe, Sami Zayn. Do you think they have plans for any of them, or are they just going to be left off or thrown in Andre, or, you know, what are they going to do with those guys?
Go ahead, Jason. What do you think?
I know what I would do with some of those guys. I'm an advocate for I don't think this happens, but giving up on Triple H and Seth Rollins in a singles match and making it Hunter and Joe against Rollins and Finn Balor, you get those guys on. If you want to make it a six-man somehow, incorporate others, okay. I wouldn't go that far with it, but I think it'd be real intrigue. And keep in mind, you know, Balor was put out of action by Seth. You can have them scheme together and say they've worked out their differences, but I think the more compelling approach is actually Stephanie puts them together, and then the mystery is, can they coexist? And believe me, you would get people going, Finn Balor led Bullet Club, are they going to start a new Bullet Club, and wondering about all of that. I think it would be a really intriguing scenario.
Anything else for us, Eric?
No, just curious as to, you know, from a fan standpoint, where you guys are at on excitement for Mania this year.
I have mixed feelings still at this point. You know, I mean, there's some things are turning out, Jason, maybe a little better than I thought, some a little bit worse. Overall, I have to say there's such an abundance of, quote, good wrestling that's available now in WWE and elsewhere. I don't just judge WrestleMania on did Vince McMahon and company put together the most 4-star matches possible, you know? So I'm open, you know, I'm not someone who's like, I'm against Shane against AJ because AJ should be able to have a 4-star match against a great wrestler. Like, I understand WrestleMania needs to stand out, and you need to look at the top matches and go, this is a special lineup. This show is unmistakably not a regular WWE event. And Goldberg, Brock, Undertaker, period, versus much less Undertaker Reigns. Brian Randy, you know, we talked about that. Jericho, Kevin Owens, long storyline build up to this. U.S. title on the line, even the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, and Shane and AJ. I mean, it feels like a WrestleMania. I just look at this and go, what's going to hold our attention from an in-ring standpoint during the show? Aries against Neville and Jericho versus Owens are the two traditional matches that, you know, traditional style matches that in a traditional way should be the, quote, show stealers. The others are spectacles. Undertaker Reigns, who knows? Goldberg Brock, who knows? Unlikely to go very long. Women's matches with, multi-person women's matches, not going to be standout singles matches. Bray and Randy, you know, they're both B-minus players in terms of big match delivery. They have good matches, but I can't remember either guy being in a match where I was just like, wow, all right, that's why I watch. It feels like a WrestleMania lineup, but I'm kind of lukewarm on how I think it's all going to go. I think it has a chance to be a good show, but not a great show, Jason.
I'm with you. You know, I always like to kind of go with the 0 to 10 scale for level of enthusiasm. I'm probably at about a 5, you know, it's coming, and I'm trying not to let last night's show bring me down, but I mean, it's slowly been building. It's kind of a strange build with the Fastlane pay-per-view falling where it did. It's causing them to kind of throw out a lot of matches rapid fire at you. I think in some ways Fastlane helped them. It kept the show interesting. You never got bored by the WrestleMania lineup and were waiting for the day after more than you were waiting for Mania. But, you know, there is a chance that on paper, this doesn't look like a great show, but once they get into the stadium, in that atmosphere, just being WrestleMania itself, that because expectations are low, they actually exceed expectations. I mean, one nice thing is there are so many matches on this show, I don't know that they're going to have a lot of time for bad New Day skits and celebrity performances and things like that. It may be a pretty straightforward wrestling show, which I don't think too many people would complain about.
Yeah. All right, let's go next to Jordan in Salem, Oregon. Jordan, what's on your mind tonight, today?
Hey guys. I got to say, it's nice to hear from you too, Jason. I haven't actually talked to you yet, but I've been a pretty big fan.
Oh, very nice to talk to you. Thank you very much.
I got to be honest, the first time I heard you, I didn't catch your name, and I thought Wade had Mick Foley on.
Oh, wow.
Your voice kind of sounds like him.
I have more teeth.
But
I kind of hear that.
My first question is, how are they going to help re-bolster SmackDown after WrestleMania? Because they've been giving all this talent to Raw, they're hyping all the Raw matches and everything, and SmackDown's looking a little bare, especially with Cena leaving probably after WrestleMania.
Shinsuke, right, Jason?
Hopefully, yeah.
God, I hope so.
And I know there's hope still. I don't think it's realistic, but I know there are a lot of people hoping that Shane doesn't actually work, that he's an authority figure now, and he's got somebody that's going to take his place. And I think it'd be a hell of a way to create some interest in Manny. You don't even necessarily have to say it, Shinsuke. They have a new signee, and Shane's excited about him, and he's going to be the guy getting his revenge. Most people would point to Shinsuke, and they'd probably be right. But as far as replenishing,
and they would pop, and that crowd would love it.
Oh my God, yeah, they'd go crazy. I think always going to be the secondary brand. I don't know if they're going to bend over backwards to move. You know, I think the roster size is probably going to stay pretty similar. And so whenever they decide to do their draft or however they do it, I don't know it. I don't think it's going to be a substantial effort to suddenly make SmackDown feel even to Raw. I think they like the dynamic of Raw being the flagship.
I think they will correct course a little bit. I think they want yeah, there's a tendency to want Raw to be the flagship, especially WrestleMania season. It has more viewers. The gap is smaller than it used to be, but it has more viewers. But, I mean, they don't want that gap to grow. And I think that after WrestleMania, when there's all this pressure to deliver network buys and we want the biggest stars in front of the biggest audience, SmackDown's still live. It's still on the same network as Raw. It's still a big part of the TV package, and USA Network wants two shows that draw good ratings. I don't think they're going to let it slide like they did when SmackDown clearly became, you know, the B show during the first roster split. So I have hopes, but yeah, it could be a draft. It could just be, you know, Cena goes away, but they have, maybe something big with AJ turning babyface, or Shinsuke shows up, becomes a big part of things.
He didn't last night.
Well, there is that, too. That opening promo, wow. I mean, I don't know. When they script a promo and all you do is nod along to it, and that's supposed to be the heel, that's crazy. Oh, if they do because Daniel Bryan hinted about this on Talking Smack last night, that, you know, maybe Shane was in no condition to be volunteering to wrestle. You know, he hit his head. He was slurring his words. If Daniel Bryan was planting the seed, and I keep, I think Matt from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, was the last couple of weeks, we go down the road of, but there's still hope. There's still hope. If they did go down the road of saying, yeah, you know what, Shane's not cleared, he's got a concussion, and, he went through that window, he's in no condition to wrestle 3 weeks out. But Shane says, that's fine. I'll pick somebody from AJ's past and bring him in. Who's on that short list? People who fans might think is the surprise opponent. Obviously, if Samoa Joe does not get a match at Mania,
right,
then he would be kind of the go-to pick for a lot of people. But then you'd have Shinsuke in their history in New Japan. You could also do Kurt Angle because their history in TNA. People might speculate maybe Kurt's coming back. I mean, you could come up with a decent short list of names who would be, believable for fans to speculate about. If they took that approach of having it, because people love a mystery. Who's going to be mystery entrance in the Rumble? Who's Mick Foley going to fire at the end of Raw? Why not have a mystery at Mania? I think it'd be a pretty tremendous way to introduce Shinsuke. To be honest, I like that idea of Shane bringing him in, because then you take away the concern that they have about Shinsuke's promos and ability to build a match, because he just becomes this, he gets this grand, amazing ring entrance at Mania, and that's one way to get him over from the start. And then another guy just adds to the list, Finn Balor. I know he's a Raw guy, but people would maybe guess that maybe he'd be on that list too.
Yeah, those are the three. I can't really think of anybody in NXT that jumps out. I don't think we're forgetting anyone. I think those are the
it's
three.
No, not like
that
Robert Roode would work.
Right, yeah. I mean, people can reach for ideas, but I think those are the three that the majority of fans would be wondering which one is it. And then I guess there'd probably be some who feared it's going to be Braun Strowman and he's just going to kill AJ Styles.
Wow, yeah. All right, let's go to our second break here. When we come back, more phone calls. Give us a call, 515-605-9345. We've got a lot of people on hold, and you can get in line on the phone banks. We'll be back right after this. If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week, and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com. All right, we are back. I'm Wade Keller of pwtorch.com and mmatorch.com. Last night, news broke. Anderson Silva's next opponent for June has been announced, and we will have not only that news, but analysis of it this week on mmatorch.com. So check out our sister brand if you're a fan of UFC and MMA. You'll want to check it out every day. The Daily News Digest is a quick and easy way to not only find out what's happening in MMA in one article every day, the top story and other announcements, quick notebook items on fight announcements, changes, injuries, compelling quotes, and more, but also analysis of that top story, plus roundtables on hot topics in the world of MMA, flashbacks, of course, live event coverage, fights to make next, exclusive columns, specialists, and so much more. Check it out, MMATorch.com. prowrestlingnetwork.com. Jason, your website, prowrestling.net. Talk about why people should go to your website and also how they can listen to you more than just once every 3 weeks here on the live cast.
Yeah, absolutely. The site is being updated almost constantly here. If I'm awake, basically, I am trying to update the site. On there today, we've got an interview recap with Jeff Hardy addressing this whole Anthem Impact Wrestling battle over the Broken Universe and the potential of returning to WWE. We have John Moore's detailed Talking Smack recap. Details on Lucha Underground arriving on Netflix as well. They are there. It's official. We also have television reviews as far as WWE Raw, SmackDown on Tuesday nights, 205 Live, NXT, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling. And so if there's wrestling going on, I think the only one we're not doing live coverage for right now is NXT, and that is available usually later that evening. But if there's wrestling going on, there's a good chance that we are covering it live at prowrestling.net. And then on the member side of things, they hear audio reviews of all of those television shows as well. Lucha Underground is another show that John Moore covers in great detail. And so as you're checking the show out on Netflix, I definitely recommend you check out John Moore. And for that matter, Will Pruitt did some reviews of Lucha Underground, both in audio and written form as well at prowrestling.net. You mentioned how do people hear us on a regular basis over there. Very simple. I can't remember the new address. I believe it's, you know what, I'm just going to direct people to the old one for now. But there is a nice simple way that I'll find and I'll tell you about later in the show, but it's at blogtalkradio.com/prowrestlingdotnet, and we are doing daily audio updates. I mentioned my SmackDown audio review. I recorded that one after the show last night. That is available today as an all-access show. Also, throughout the week, people hear the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. They hear occasionally some of our television reviews and things of that nature, occasional interviews as well. I know we've got one coming up that'll end up airing on the all-access side, so be sure to check that out. But on the member side, again, just it's the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. Tons of audio content available. Again, all the weekly television shows and pay-per-view events covered in audio form. Coming out of the Ring of Honor show on Friday night, I did my full-length audio review on that show exclusively for the members. It's WrestleMania season, a great time to sign up. Visit the main page and enter the sign-up area. Very easy to spot right there on the main page of ProWrestling.net. And once you're in there, you'll find three different pricing options. $7.50 gets you in the door for 1 month, and obviously that'll get you through WrestleMania and beyond. And if you're interested in saving a little money, there is a six-month option that brings the price down, and the annual option brings the price down $2 a month. So you're getting, on average, monthly membership for .net if you take the annual option for just $5.50. All the details, again, available at ProWrestling.net. If you have any questions, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet.
Excellent. Thank you, Jason. And let's go back to the phone lines. And we will go next to Kenny in Gallatin, Texas. Kenny, what have you got for us?
Hey, Wade, how's it going? By the way,
good.
It's Gallatin, Tennessee. I hate to correct you on that again, but anyway.
You're banned. Banned from the show. How dare you? All right, thanks.
Oh, okay. Anyway, hey, Jason, I just read those columns that you just mentioned on your website. They were real excellent, by the way.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Anyway, I got a couple of Impact-related questions, one involving a former superstar that's now in the WWE, spoiler alert, AJ Styles, and one on Jeff Jarrett in the current TNA management.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, the first one's going to be on AJ Styles, and, you know, we're all obviously are dreading, you know, AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon and WrestleMania, but I'm just going to chalk that up. It's like, okay, he's got to get it done. But I'm really more concerned about where does he go from here after WrestleMania? Who do you guys see as the next big match, next big superstar he's going to face after WrestleMania? My personal take is, you know, if he's going to stay in SmackDown, he should possibly stay, you know, either challenging Bray Wyatt or Randy Orton for the WWE champion, whoever comes out of that WrestleMania, or, you know, the Intercontinental Championship. He needs to stay, in my opinion, among the high top-tier levels in SmackDown. I don't know what your guys' opinion on that is.
Jason, I don't have any doubt they're going to keep AJ at the top of the card, but, yeah, who is that fresh opponent for him post-Mania?
You know, I would think it's going to be Randy, but I don't. I mean, if they just put the title on Bray, they're doing all the hocus-pocus stuff with him now. I mean, it looked to me, even though we, you know, I joke about AJ turning or attacking Shane being a babyface move, and some of the things he said in his promo, I don't think they're going babyface with him. And so it would require Orton winning the championship then. I'd like to see AJ turn babyface and have this a bit of this edge to him, but I just don't know that they see it the same way. So I think one way or another, he is challenging for the WWE Championship. It's just a matter of who ends up with that title.
Yeah, I mean, I if they turn AJ babyface, and I'm not against pulling the trigger on that, because I think they're just fighting inevitability.
He's getting a reaction, Wade. That's all. The only thing that matters. Oh, wait,
yes,
wrong guy.
Yes. If AJ, if Bray retains the title, which I'm in favor of, because I think Randy's just so flat. He's a top guy, but I don't know. I mean, that promo was just so memorized and blah. And just like his matches, they are memorized and blah until a good ending that they hope makes you forget how blah the body of the match was. I'd rather have Bray keep the title and have AJ as a babyface go after Bray, because that's a fresh matchup. And then that'll really show us what Bray can deliver in the ring too. You know, if he can be more than the B-minus player that he's been so far in top matches. But I mean, yeah, I mean, if it might be why Vince wants, you know, maybe Vince shakes things up with the draft and switches a few people around, because, you know, there is a little bit of an incestuousness to the roster, especially at the top of the card on SmackDown. There's just not a lot of places to go. So with Cena taking time off, yeah, I mean, Kenny, I don't know. If there's a long list of options for AJ the way that things are now.
Yeah, but I mean, I just feel like that, you know, with what happened last night in SmackDown, I always look at the possibility, and you kind of pointed out, you know, Kurt Angle as well, maybe even a scenario where, you know, he either goes to Raw and face Roman Reigns, if Roman Reigns goes heel or something in that scenario. I think that there's just no excuse for not having him in a big, you know, upper-level type matches from here on out, in my opinion.
Yeah. Topic number two.
Topic number two is involving the things that you said recently, and I don't know if it was probably one of your Weight Killer hotlines about Jeff Jarrett, and it just rings true to me because I am from Tennessee, and, you know, I grew up with, you know, his father's promotion and grew up watching Jeff Jarrett wrestle for so many years, and, you know, it is true, he did learn a lot from his dad as far as promoting wrestling. The problem was is that, you know, it was during the territorial era, and, you know, Jerry didn't spend a lot of money. He was notoriously historically, Tennessee was known as one of the cheapest places to work because of that. And, you know, unfortunately, he's got himself in the same bind with, you know, Anthem and Impact and all this stuff. And, you know, and then he got his deal with Global Force where, you know, he's had it for about 4 years, and it's just not really gotten into the ground. It's really not done anything. And I guess really my question is to you guys is, how long do you think it'll be before Anthem says, you know, Jeff, it's not going to work. We got to let you go.
Go ahead, Jason. What do you think?
Well, you know, I mean, right now I think they're going to want that, I don't know, you can call it a frugal approach, fiscally responsible approach. TNA was losing a lot of money and went under Dixie Carter's vision and leadership. And they're just, they're trying to strike new television deals. That can help. I think their first goal is to at least, you know, trim some of the fat, to try to get as close to financially even as possible. I would hope that they assume they're going to lose some money early on. But I think that might be something that appeals to them about Jeff Jarrett. If he's going in there and saying, look, you know, you guys need to start, you know, you got to get rid of some of this talent. You can't, I can help you manage that. I can bring guys in on the cheap. I'm guessing, Wade, that appeals to them more than anything. And then, you know, the rest, we're 1 week in. You know, we're one batch of tapings in. I don't think they're thinking at all about unloading Jeff Jarrett at this point.
No. What's your impression of the new ownership so far, Jason?
Pluses and minuses to it. Clearly, they seem to be aggressive in trying to strike new television deals. I'm encouraged that they don't look at their app as the solution, trying to go over the top WWE Network with it. That was definitely a concern of mine, and everything I've been told is that Ed Nordholm thinks American television is the key. You know, they have to have that. They went over and they struck a deal, and don't know if it's a good deal or a bad deal, but they struck a new deal in the UK with Spike UK to get the show back on the air over there. Those are encouraging signs. And I think the obvious scary part is, well, a couple of things. He doesn't know the wrestling business. I like that he will admit that to people, that he's not, you know, one of those people that doesn't know but is going to act like he does, but he's coming in cold to this. And we saw how that worked when Dixie Carter was in that position with Jeff Jarrett and Dutch Mantel, and you know, there were mistakes made. And you know, yeah. So how much confidence is he putting in Jeff Jarrett and Dutch Mantel and others? Can they pay back on that? And then obviously the big one is how bad they look for the whole Hardy situation. I know there's going to be TNA defenders out there, Impact Wrestling now, people defending this and pointing to, and I know the mentality within the company is that Vince McMahon would never let this happen. You know, of course he would protect his intellectual property. You look bad. You're trying to win fans back, and you look horrible, and I don't think he has a clue. I think that he's just, I think Ed Nordholm probably believes that, I'm sure he's being sold on the fact, yeah, the Hardys have a lot of fans, but it doesn't matter. You know, the only thing that matters is just that we produce good quality television. It's just they were already fighting an uphill battle, and this moved them even further down the mountain. You know, they've got a big climb, and to come right out of the gate a day after your first show of your new era airs, and you do this, and you just turn so many people against you, that's a mistake, and I don't think he sees it.
No, and nobody believes that Broken Matt Hardy was the idea of anybody in Anthem or anybody else in TNA. And
no.
So when you take something that's so clearly created by and fostered by and utilized outside of TNA previously by the Hardys, it comes across as petty and vindictive and vengeful instead of just being classy and saying, yep, they were on our TV, one hand washed the other, and now the Hardys will go on and we'll let them do what they want, because they dropped the ball on negotiations. They didn't offer a great full-time living, because they didn't do what they could to grow enough to be able to guarantee that they could keep the Hardys around. Or creatively, Jeff Jarrett just didn't think the Hardys, the whole Broken Matt Hardy thing, had a lot of legs to it. And I mean, some people think that too. Whatever it is, let them go do their thing. It's not like Vince McMahon when he creates the concept and makes, I mean, this was the Hardys' idea. This was, people identify this as something that the Hardys should be able to own. Kind of how people feel about Cody Rhodes not being able to use the Rhodes name.
Absolutely.
You know, it feels petty. And so, all right, we're going to go another break. When we come back, more phone calls. So hold on if you're on hold. And if you want, you can get in line on the phone banks. 515-605-9345. I'm Wade Keller with Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net.
Do you love Pro Wrestling Torch? Then we've got another show just for you, Ring Rust Radio.
Ring Rust Radio breaks down the hottest topics and news from around the wrestling world, including WWE Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, TNA, Lucha Underground, New Japan, and indie wrestling. Add in interviews with the biggest names in the industry, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Paul Heyman, Kurt Angle, and many more. And Ring Rust Radio has something for everyone.
Check out the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Interact with us on Twitter at RingRustRadio and email us at RingRustRadio@yahoo.com.
We're back live taking your phone calls here on PW Torch Livecast. Don't forget, tomorrow night, speaking of Impact, which we're doing before the break, Impact airs live on Pop TV on Thursday nights, and as soon as it goes off the air, the PW Torch livecast goes on the air. Andrew Socek joins Mike McMahon, and they take your calls and talk about everything. And we keep saying TNA, Jason. You haven't corrected me. It's Impact Wrestling. What are we doing? For years and years, they drop the TNA name. It's awful. They finally do, and then I keep calling them TNA. But they are Impact Wrestling. Do we need three letters, Jason? Do we need like Impact Wrestling Federation, Impact Wrestling, Anthem?
I really wish they did. You know, I mean, it's just, it always threw me off even back in the day when it was like World Class Championship Wrestling, just that extra. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing right now. Nobody's going to call it IW.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I was in the newsletter this week. I was like, you know, TNA News. And I'm like, wait, TNA Notebook. Nope. And then it had to be Impact Wrestling Notebook. And it's the name of a TV show. The Impact Wrestling is the name of the TV show, as Dixie Carter told me on this show. When I was like, what is it? What's the name of your company? And she didn't even know. I mean, she didn't have a clear answer. But, I mean, Impact Wrestling is the name of a show. So, you know, it's like when WWF had to change their name and if they became SmackDown Wrestling. It's like, no, just you got to be something. So it's not that hard. Just be Impact Wrestling Alliance, Impact Wrestling Federation, Impact Wrestling International, IWI. You know, give us three letters.
I'm not even a big fan of just going with Impact Wrestling. It's just too closely associated. I think they really needed a fresh start. And
I have an idea.
It's just, yeah, go for it.
Oh, go. No, finish your thought. Mine's stupid.
Well, it's just, it's too close. You know, it's like people, when they hear Impact Wrestling, associate that with TNA. I'd want to get as far removed from that TNA name as possible. I mean, obviously, they're going to want to do things with the library, but if you really want to send the message of change, then get away from both TNA and Impact Wrestling.
I just came up with a name I don't think has been used. Global Force Wrestling. GFW. Does that have a ring to it?
I was wondering if that was a direction this was going to go in. I don't.
Yeah.
It's so weird that that thing is still alive. I mean, they've been telling people they have TV coming up, and as far as like what they've taped is going to air or something, and there's still no sign of it. So it's just so strange that it continues to exist. I thought maybe that's what the game plan was going to be, was to switch to that name, but there's no sign of it. It's still out there, Global Force Wrestling, and now they're basically using a bunch of Global Force talent on the Impact Wrestling shows.
Yeah, well, I think there's a chance we see those see that show up at Impact one of these days. All right, Patrick in Rochester, Massachusetts, or maybe the state's wrong. But Patrick, you're up next.
Hey, wait, thank you. I just had a quick question. I was watching SmackDown last night, and I'm watching Bray Wyatt rub dirt all over his face. I just was thinking how stupid the whole thing was. I just killed the whole thing for me. But then I remembered I was actually at the 94 Royal Rumble where Undertaker, quote unquote, died, the green smoke coming out of the air and all that. And I was a 10-year-old kid at that point, and I bought into the whole thing. So I don't know. I was just curious whether you think there's a chance that Bray Wyatt could pivot into, you know, the next generation of wrestling fans, kind of Undertaker figure. And do you think that WWE is trying to use this as a reset point for Bray going forward?
Well, I think that doing, you know, having a character who falls outside the bounds of the normal narrative structure, if you do it really well, it can work, Jason. I mean, you know, Undertaker, obviously, it's hard to argue with that, although there's things Undertaker has done that I think were setbacks or just silly, didn't help his character, didn't destroy the business, but were just nonsense and silly. You know, the camera inside the casket was, you know, I ranted about that back in the day. If you're a PW Torch VIP member, you can go back and read my thoughts on these moments in history and see some consistency in some of the things that WWE does. And they don't work, but they're little pet things that Vince McMahon likes to do, and they go back to him. I don't think we can have any faith that this is some sort of advancement of the Bray Wyatt character, because so much else with this storyline has been awful, Jason, or sloppy. I mean, Bray going, I'm stronger than ever, as just a way to basically erase everything Randy spent the last half year doing. It just, there's no way to save it in that respect. What rubbing dirt on himself and what, he's going to now look different? He's going to not pose for funny pictures with Stephanie on social media anymore? I mean, what's going to be different about Bray? I don't know what they can do with it. That's all that different. And I didn't sense last night that there was a lot of room or even hints of something, this being a transformative upgrade in his character.
No, I just, Undertaker was able to survive some of the campy, horrible things they did with him. It's like a testament to his popularity. And I think it's the wrong direction with Bray. They can try to go with the hocus pocus stuff. I don't think it's been well received. I think people are just kind of like, what's going on? You know, he was really doing it during the John Cena feud, and with the kids singing and some of the things they did there, and it was campy. It just felt out of place, and it does again. And the funny thing was, we really, when Randy desecrated the grave and supposedly took away Bray's powers. It's like, what powers? We haven't seen that Bray in quite some time. Yeah, he disappeared from that storage container the one time, but that was about it. You have to really go back to the scene at Bude before the Hocus Pocus stuff. It's like, what power are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's go next. Oh, Patrick, do you have anything else for us? I guess I should ask that.
No, that's it. Thanks, guys.
All right, cool. Appreciate it. All right, up next, Eric in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thanks for calling. What do we got for Jason and me?
Hey, I just got a couple questions. One's about the Hall of Fame. Maggie and Moose were interviewing Beth Phoenix, and they had mentioned her husband's a Hall of Famer, too, and I missed. Could you tell me who that is or no?
That her husband is a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, they said the only married couple in the Hall of Fame, and I don't know what they were saying.
Edge.
I missed
Edge,
it. Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay, and did since they left Impact, are Mike Bennett and Maria back in ROH, or are they free agents? That's all I got.
All right, thanks, sir. Jason, Mike Bennett and Maria, talk about where they're headed next, and what you. I'll add to it. What do you think of the year that they had in TNA?
Well, I think they had a really good year in TNA. I think Maria was able to remind people and really show people what a good talker she was. She always played kind of a fun, ditzy character in WWE. I kind of compared it to the old Dawn Marie character. Then they had her wrestle, and it just the thrill went away. But when she was in Ring of Honor, all they did was do close-ups of her backside. You know, they didn't even use her. She rarely spoke. And so she finally gets to TNA and gets a chance, and she was arguably the best talker on that show last year. She was great. Mike Bennett, I think, was able to get away from the bad stigma that just existed with him in Ring of Honor. You know, he came in with the big push as the prodigy, didn't live up to the hype, and I think he needed to get away. If he goes back now, I think, yeah, he's going to benefit from his time in TNA. I don't think he wowed people in the ring, but he showed that he can be a good talker as well. I think he would be perfect for NXT. I don't know if Maria has interest in going to NXT, or and if they're willing to bring them both to the main roster. Well, maybe. Maria's talked about going back to school, or continuing her education. She's actually been going through school this whole time. Ring of Honor feels like a step back to me, but maybe it would cause the creative forces in Ring of Honor to look at them a little bit differently, portray them differently. Something happened, though, because they agreed to terms like on the Friday before the tapings, and then by that Sunday they changed their mind. So I don't know exactly what it is. There's a lot of suspicion that a better offer came along. And was that a better offer from Ring of Honor? Was it a better offer? Did they get what they wanted from WWE? It sounds like there's been at least discussions with WWE. And so to me, it's kind of a fun mystery right now to see where they end up.
Cool. Interesting. All right, let's go next to Walter in Boston. Walter, thanks for calling. What have you got for us?
Hey, Wade and Jason, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Excellent. I'm a paying member of both your sites, but I will not be color of the day because I'm a Sting fan, obviously.
I knew this was coming. Okay. Yep.
Yep, yep. I wanted to, I have a few things on my mind, but I wanted to ask Jason about how undervalued the championship belts are now. And I've never remembered a time where, I mean, the Intercontinental Championship, you don't even remember it's on AJ.
The value of the titles in WWE, I touched on it earlier. It was a theme of my hit list yesterday for the Raw side of things. Certainly. I mean, again, you have Goldberg, Brock Lesnar wants revenge. It's not even about the Universal Championship. Kevin Owens wants revenge. He just happens, that revenge happens to include him winning the U.S. Championship. Bray and Randy are talking about anything but the championship. And then you have Dean Ambrose and Baron Corbin, and Corbin just wants to take everything from him, including the championship. And it's the same line that Randy used while talking about Bray just minutes earlier. Yeah, there's a really poor focus on the titles. They should mean so much more than they do right now. And I think people who were questioning the idea of putting the championship in the Brock and Goldberg match have a valid point now. I mean, especially when you look at what they've done. It should, the idea is that it makes the match feel bigger. Well, you know, the match should also make the title feel bigger, and when you're not paying any attention to it, it just doesn't.
And I'm sorry, I meant Dean, not H.A. Even I forgot
I was
the Intercontinental Champion. It's been so long.
I was going to say, I sure did forget H.A. was the Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, my bad. But the titles are really undervalued. And the other point I wanted to make was, you have Bayley as champion now. And I think it was Mark Madden last year tweeted out, they were letting the Bayley character die in NXT because they weren't bringing her up. And now they've brought her up, and I think she'd be better off if she'd stayed in NXT, because they've absolutely killed her character, and she was one of my favorite. Like, I was so excited to see her and what she would do on the main roster, and I think they've killed her character now. So, your thoughts on that?
Well, they even brought that up and Bring It to the Table, Jason. Even WWE official, their official, you know, talk show, you know, had people expressing that Bayley is a cheater, and that, you know, JBL said, you know, Bayley is champion, but she cheated to get there. Corey Graves pointed out that Sasha was maybe responsible for, or Graves actually said Sasha initiated the cheating, and JBL was saying that Bayley cheated to win. I mean, they're acknowledging that this maybe hurt Bayley's character. How do you grade Bayley's push so far, Jason? And if there's something wrong, is it correctable?
I give them a D-. They've done a horrible job with this. It's been a major talking point of mine for a while now. Just that people can point to, well, they should have waited until WrestleMania to put the title on her for the first time. Yet WrestleMania 35, I'd rather be in Sami Zayn's shoes right now than Bayley's. Bayley might be the women's champion, but she's peaked. And they ruined her first title win. It should have been a feel-good win. It wasn't. They had Sasha interfere, and then worse yet, Bayley was cool. She was happy about it. She celebrated with Sasha, told, you know, had everything laid out for her by Stephanie McMahon, why it was a flawed win and why she shouldn't feel good about it, and basically agreed with her and then said, hell no, I'm not giving up my championship. It's a mess. And where I think Sammy is in a better place, as much as people might complain that, oh, I wish they were doing more with Sammy, it's good. You know, it's you want them to feel that way with an underdog character like that for a while. So I don't think that they're doing this by design with Sammy, but I think there's going to come a day, a year or two down the road, when they finally give Sammy some sort of a push, and it's going to mean something, because people have kind of suffered with this character, waiting for him to get his big break and get his big first title win or whatever the case may be, where Bayley, we've already done that. And it was flawed and tainted, and you're already hearing boos for Bayley, Wade. I mean, think about that, Bayley. Had this character, the NXT character, played itself out on the main roster the exact same way, they could have printed money, and instead they've completely blown it.
Walter, anything else?
Oh, yeah, one last thing for Jason, since it's so nice to talk to him.
Yeah.
Okay, so Vince doesn't like, you know, foreign guys that can't make an English promo. There are guys in MMA, there are guys in boxing. I think of Triple G, a guy that, you know, English is a second language for him, but he could still get over the fact that he's a tough guy, he's going to beat you up. And I think Nakamura is going to be tremendous when he gets on the main roster. I don't care if he can't cut a good English promo, but when you see what he does in the ring, he's going to be awesome. So I wanted to ask Jason how he thinks Nakamura will be booked, and do you think he'll be a main event talent?
Well, I mean, he should be. It's always the big question now. You just brought up Bayley, and we all assume that WWE would, you know, they figured it out in NXT. How could they possibly blow it on the main roster? And they've blown it. There have been other examples, but and to their credit, I look at Samoa Joe, and I think they've done a better job with him early in his run on the main roster than I expected. You know, Joe was. He was good at NXT. You know, he had a title run and all that, but this Joe we see now is just a killer. They're doing a great job with him. I love what they're doing with Samoa Joe, so it can go the other way. But, yeah, you have to hope that Vince gets it, that Vince sees how special this guy is. I think we're probably beyond the silly Japanese stereotypes and all of that, I would hope. But I think that it's just too tough to say, because there have been other seemingly can't-miss prospects, if you will, from NXT. It seems odd to call a 37-year-old guy a prospect, but we've seen too many prospects come up, and that Vince just hasn't – he doesn't get it. Wait, I mean, clearly – They'll acknowledge this. He's not watching the NXT show. You know, he's getting like clips of these talents. He's not paying attention. He doesn't understand the characters.
Yeah, and I will say, just in general, Walter, about the idea of, you know, you want to have English-speaking people, but you point to boxing and MMA. Pro wrestling is different in the sense that it's a weekly show that is also a, you know, a soap opera. People who say male soap opera, clearly it's aimed at women too. It's a soap. It's got the soap opera aspects of it, and they have to fill a lot of TV time. And for better or for worse, Raw is 3+ hours. And if you're going to be a top star on Raw, and for that matter, SmackDown, being able to talk is as important as being able to be charismatic on your way to the ring and have a good match in the ring. That said, Shinsuke, I think, passes. I mean, I think he's good enough talking. And they certainly, you know, Rey Mysterio wasn't a great talker. Jeff Hardy wasn't a great talker. They made a lot of money with them. There's ways around this, and they've done it with other wrestlers. So, you know, Goldberg, I mean, they're pushing him as a big star, and they don't trust Goldberg to talk. You know, I mean, the CM Punk chants followed by Paul Heyman interrupting, you know, before Goldberg. Do we know, Jason, by the way, what Goldberg was going to reveal, and will we ever find out?
No, it hasn't been a topic of conversation at all. He brought it up, and it wasn't like the broadcast team even pondered it. They just moved on.
Do you think it's going to be, I've never disclosed this, but I shaved my head, I didn't go bald. Do you think that's what he was going to confide in everybody?
I don't know.
I'm curious. The speculation is killing me. All right. One more break. We're going to come back, more calls, and then we'll wrap up. And Jason and I will then move on to our VIP exclusive after show for ProWrestling.net members and PW Torch VIP members. Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you. Any other topic? This comes from Kermit from Sacramento. He says, love being a VIP member. I've been a VIP member for a few months now, and it's pretty good. Worth my money. All right, I'll take it. I love that. I love being a VIP member. I've been for a few months. It's worth my money. It's pretty good. That's my favorite testimonial ever. It's pretty good. All right, so Monday Night Raw, he says, was that all WWE was going to give us as far as a heel Roman Reigns? Or is there a possibility that there could be a better heel turn later? You know, it's funny. By the time we get to SmackDown, sometimes Raw feels like a distant memory here on Wednesdays. But Roman Reigns, Jason, I mean, we haven't talked about Undertaker, Roman Reigns, and Braun Strowman, what they did with him yet. Your thoughts?
I think the build to the match has been good. I really like the appearance of Shawn Michaels. Didn't see it coming. Was actually thinking they were going to kill the crowd because they were teasing us with Undertaker, and I'm like, I don't think he's there. This is really going to upset the crowd if they come back and they don't have something. Well, they did, and it worked out really well. I don't think Roman has said anything yet that can't be walked back. You know, he's not overtly heel,
no.
And until we see him low-blowing Taker and winning that, you know, just doing something where he outright cheats and flips off the crowd, whatever the case may be, I'm just going to assume they're holding course. But I've liked the build to the match, but I haven't come away convinced or about to turn him heel. I mean, I think it's the right move, but I don't know what. I just worry they're so set in their ways and being so stubborn with this that they just see it as, well, he's going to be Taker, and then he's going to be Brock Lesnar, and it's going to be great.
Well, on Bring It to the Table, they were talking about Roman Reigns, and is he another John Cena? You know, Corey Graves said, yeah, it's the – what do you say, the trendy thing or the cool thing to do to boo Roman Reigns? And he noted that in the Braun Strowman match, which they heap praise on. It's WrestleMania worthy. It was amazing. He's like, if you watch the crowd, they pop for the match. They pop for the finish. And then they were like, oh, we're supposed to boo Roman. And then they switched from cheering to booing. Is Roman Reigns putting in good enough performances in the ring, on the in actual matches? And have they found him? Is he in a good enough lane as a character on promos now that there's a chance he wins people over, and the only people who are booing him are doing it just to be cool, just to be stubborn, and because they want to create another kind of John Cena situation? Or is there something different still about Roman Reigns compared to John Cena, where it's not good to have a lead babyface who fans resent and boo? I mean, I think Roman has hit a threshold of being good enough in the ring that if they stay the course with him as a booed babyface, at least there's some merit to it. At least we're not also complaining about how awful his matches are. But there's still the issue of, is he main event, centerpiece, top attraction level in the ring if he's still mainly just relying on a small handful of moves and an over-reliance on the Superman punch? Does that wear out its welcome eventually too? So yeah, just your assessment of Roman Reigns and reacting to the Bring It to the Table assessment that, yeah, it's more the cool thing to do now, but Roman is actually a draw.
I think people look forward to his matches because I think he does have good matches despite having a very limited move set. It's been a while since we've been let down by a Roman Reigns match, and Taker's going to be a test just because of where he is physically. I don't know how well they mesh together. It feels like they both kind of need that a different style opponent, but we'll see. You know, I'm sure it'll be the old fashioned slobber knocker, and hopefully it's going to be laid out in a way that makes it an entertaining match. But the limitations are still on the mic and the character, and he's not going to get better at it because they won't let him go out there and deliver a promo, because as much as they say they love the reaction he gets, they don't want him to be booed. And so someone always interrupts him. He is clearly a better heel than he is a babyface. They know this. I think they've just really dug their heels in on this, and they don't want to budge. But look what they did with him at the Rumble. They know the type of reaction he gets. They used it to their advantage to make Randy Orton's Royal Rumble win come off well. There's a big difference between him and John Cena, and it really does come down to the lack of the character. And for all the, you know, this, is it working to some extent in this, in the way he's slotted? Sure. It's not, I don't think it's turning people off in droves or anything. There are times when he gets too close to the title picture or he wins the championship that you start to fear that can happen. I think the key with Roman Reigns, though, is just that, okay, yeah, you think he's great this way. How much better could he be as a heel, and how much more impactful could he be as a heel? And they never cover that part of it. They just justify Vince McMahon's actions and his stubbornness.
All right, let's go to our next call. Craig from Green Bay, who covers Talking Smack for PW Torch. Craig, welcome to the show.
Hey, Wade, Jason, great to talk to you on a nice Wednesday afternoon. I have one topic for you guys to kind of discuss, and we could probably go off on a few tangents, but I'm thinking back to 11 years ago when Vince McMahon and Shawn Michaels was announced for WrestleMania, just a year after Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle had their great match, and I believe that was the WrestleMania where Shawn started calling himself Mr. WrestleMania. Are you guys, how can I say this? I wasn't a subscriber to any pay sites such as yourselves back in 2006, so I'm not sure if there was a similar fan backlash to the announcement of Vince and Shawn, similar to how AJ and Shane is kind of getting some backlash because AJ deserves better because he's a much better wrestler, similar to how Corey Graves kind of painted the picture. I think that, in my opinion, in the past 11 years, the WWE has lost a lot of confidence, or the fans have lost a lot of confidence in WWE, whereas I feel that Vince McMahon has shown previous to that match at WrestleMania 22 with Shawn that he's been able to at least stay within himself and put on a good match, and he's a better overall performer than Shane, whereas Shane is more of a, and he might be a better athlete, but he's nowhere near the performer that Vince is, and Shawn for that matter as well. So just kind of curious, drawing some comparisons and stuff like that to then and now. Obviously, there are a lot of differences between the Shawn Michaels and Vince McMahon dynamic versus AJ Styles and Shane, but I'm just kind of curious on your thoughts of the comparisons from then and now?
Yeah, interesting question. Jason, talk about that. And you know, Shawn Michaels, boy, did he have a great second half, second stanza of his career, but that did include a WrestleMania match against Vince McMahon.
There wasn't. I don't recall there being backlash. The Vince McMahon character was different. I don't know, maybe, do you remember, were people disappointed Shawn wasn't doing something else? I just don't remember it, if there was a lot of backlash.
Well, I know that at the time, Shawn Michaels, there was talk of him wanting to slow down after that match with Vince McMahon, after WrestleMania. He did an interview where he talked about how, you know, he's going to do the best he can at WrestleMania, but then he needs to slow down. And I think there was a feeling that Michaels was, I mean, this was not too long after the Hulk Hogan thing too, where Michaels had the match with Hogan and was real and did, you know, did everything he could to show up Hulk Hogan in that match, but have plausible deniability that he was just trying to bump and make him look good. So there was a little bit of tension, I guess, still there. But Michaels just physically and mentally back at that point was not where his head was. He was kind of back to where people were worrying about him losing a smile. And so I think with 2020 hindsight, we look back and go, oh, he deserved, you know, to have a showcase match. But Vince McMahon, with all due respect to Shane McMahon, was a much bigger star too. And so I can't remember if they were trying to play off of any knowledge of tension between McMahon and Shawn over the way that he was treated in the Hogan situation, or not. But I don't remember there being a big backlash. I'm just kind of brainstorming back to that time. I think I'd have to go back and kind of immerse myself in that moment in time again to kind of see. But I think that the idea that Michaels was slowing down is one thing, but I don't think in 2006 the feeling was WWE has this incredibly deep roster of matches where Shawn should have a dream match with them. I mean, I don't think like it was an AJ Styles thing. I think the feeling was we've seen Shawn. He wasn't a shiny new toy like AJ Styles still is, having these great world-class matches. He's a legend, and he was there to have special matches at WrestleMania.
That sounds right to me. I think I would remember. I mean, there may have been some disappointed Michaels fans who wanted to see him work with different people. You're always going to get that. But, yeah, I mean, Vince just, even though Shane can jump from high places and certainly do more things than Vince McMahon could, Vince was the ultimate heel. And people looked forward to seeing Vince McMahon, where in this case, you know, it's just, I don't even think people would object to seeing Shane on the show. If he were facing The Miz, for instance, or something, it just feels like he's being slotted higher than, you know, in a higher profile match than people feel like he needs to be in.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll use this as a little plug. I mean, people can read about what I had to say about this in real time as it was happening in back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly newsletter. So if you want to read about my assessment of the announcement, the hype, the buildup, and the match itself, you can become a VIP member. Get details at pwtorch.com/govip, pwtorch.com/govip. I did look it up just in my WrestleMania preview back in 2006. I said special attraction matches this year are meant to make up for comparably weak world title matches. Edge versus Mick Foley and Vince McMahon versus Shawn Michaels are the wild cards that could save the WrestleMania 22 buy rate. The question is, after a week Saturday night's main event rating, will there be strong interest in seeing Vince McMahon in a main event singles match, or does Mick Foley have much credibility left as a top act coming out of retirement? And then I wrote about the ratings that Shawn Michaels against Shane McMahon drew on Saturday night's main event, and put that in perspective as far as the drawing card goes. So I don't see in this preview any real-time outrage over the misuse of Shawn Michaels. But yeah, it's interesting. I'm gonna read this cover story when we're done with the show. I'm kind of drawn into my WrestleMania 22 prediction. The headline says WrestleMania 22 prediction: low buy rate, few indications that WWE is hot headed into its biggest annual show. Another key line from that preview: this way, you got to go VIP if you love wrestling history. John Cena, meanwhile, has yet to be fully accepted as a top star by a seeming majority of WWE's viewership. The boos still ring out in virtually every arena, despite many attempts to get fans to cheer him. Sound familiar? Cena feels like a main event anointed to the position rather than fans having demanded it. His in-ring style hasn't progressed, and it's inexcusable since there are things any wrestler can do to improve their ring work without the gift of great athleticism. What Undertaker has done lately to expand his mat work is one example. Cena's mic work has been steady but not spectacular. He's backed off at doing the raps, which is both good and bad. On and on. Also talked about Kurt Angle being a virtual non-factor headed into Mania. So different time in WWE history. It's amazing how far we traveled in 11 years, Jason. But yeah, that's a back issue. And then we got almost 1,500 back issues up from our nearly 30 years. This is issue number 906 from April 1st, 2006. The top story of the week, by the way, was Jim Ross to call Raw matches at WrestleMania 22. He found out just that week that despite Joey Styles being host of Raw, Jim Ross would be calling WrestleMania. There is justice at that time. Story number two, Bret Hart says Shawn Michaels not welcome at the Hall of Fame. He didn't want him at his Hall of Fame induction. Wow. And then Vince McMahon against John Cena headlined the final Raw before Mania. No charges to be filed for the tanning incident with Vince McMahon. That had to make him happy. And Chris Jericho. Well, number five story in Chris Jericho. So anyway, go VIP and check out this back issue if you want to read about that and really the buildup of every WrestleMania. The editorial on that issue, by the way, was seven keys to a good WrestleMania. See, now I gotta read this. seven keys to a good WrestleMania. Let's see. How determined is Shawn Michaels to have a show stealer? That was one of my questions. No access to the corporate jet, no more access to booking meetings, being treated like just another veteran wrestler and still trying to catch up to Steve Austin and The Rock in terms of total salary, despite more than double their total years in the business. He might be more frustrated than inspired these days. What will he do? Will he do what it takes to live up to his rep as a show stealer, or will he phone it in with a decent but hardly monumental effort against the boss who might be taking him for granted lately? Interesting stuff. All right. So go VIP and read that back at you. All right. Let's go to one final break. When we come back, we'll take a final call or two. Craig, if you have more for us, I'll go to you after the break. Do got to sneak in one more ad, and then we'll be back. When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com. Got people on Twitter all morning and now all afternoon talking about other incidents of WWE doing stupid things with cameras in unexpected places. The Steve Austin, Brian Pillman thing brought up Triple H spontaneously showing up at Randy Orton's house and 3 to 4 cameras were used. Yes, criticizing something WWE, and this isn't saying that people are saying that they're not bringing up examples to justify what they did. But I do want to stress, because sometimes this happens, Jason, we criticize something and then people go, yeah, but back in 2002 or back in 1996 they did it too, so there it's like, yeah,
oh,
you know,
my
we,
God, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We were,
well,
critical of it then too.
That, and if you criticize TNA or Impact Wrestling Anthem for the Hardy situation, well, what about Cody? It's like the two wrongs don't make a right thing, just comes to mind immediately, folks.
Yeah, and the Cody thing is an example of how WWE looks petty and undercuts they don't gain anything from protecting the Rhodes name, and it comes across as petty. And
it is.
Right. Yes, it doesn't even come across. It doesn't just come across that way. It is the very definition of it. And same thing with Impact Wrestling and Anthem. So, all right, cool. All right, straight off, I wanted to get that last break in, but let's go back to Craig. Craig, do you have any follow-up for us?
No other topics for discussion, but I appreciate your unsolicited plug about me covering Talking Smack for you. It's my first such endeavor. I've been doing it for you for about a month, and I'm really enjoying it, so, and I hope the readers are as well. And Jason, you do great work as well.
Thank you. You're no John Moore. And I say that only hoping that people will compare the two and find out that they like you. They like you both equally. John does the Talking Smack recap for my site. So all in good fun.
Right.
All right.
Very good.
Great.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks for calling. Go Vikings. I cut him off before he could say go Packers. He's from Green Bay.
Oh, good job. Good job.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's go to Kenny from Mobile, Alabama. Kenny, thanks for holding. What have you got for us?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. I remember Stone Cold kind of bringing up in one of the interviews that you did with him about, you know, them not building characters up like they used to. Like he said, you know, who is Seth Rollins? Who is Dean Ambrose? Like, you know, you could tell somebody who The Rock is, who Stone Cold is. Do you think maybe there's a reason why they don't build, you know, wrestlers up like they used to? Do you think maybe they don't want them to be too big for WWE? Might be a reason. So, like, once they finish their career, they become a big star like The Rock is today? Or do you think it might be something else?
Well, Triple H said it a handful of years ago, Jason. Triple H and Undertaker were the last of the Smash Mouth wrestlers. There are no stars left. JBL on Bring It to the Table said, hey, you know, people complain about Goldberg being 50 years old and headlining WrestleMania. Well, who else is going to be against Brock Lesnar? And people still pop for him. You know, I mean, you could say that's an excuse for, I mean, I don't think you need to make excuses for Goldberg being in the main event at WrestleMania. He was a huge star in the Monday Night War era. They're using him very carefully and in a calculated fashion. He got great pops. It was justified in putting him in a big match, and I think that there's a lot of intrigue over what happens. I don't have any problem with Goldberg in the spot that he's in. It makes WrestleMania feel more special having him in that spot. That all said, one of the reasons Goldberg is in that spot is because WWE doesn't have all these other stars who have, as Vince would say, grabbed the brass ring. And that's a combination it's a big combination of factors. Shinsuke Nakamura could be a mega star, but he spent a couple years in NXT now, you know, over a year in NXT. Kevin Owens could have been more protected. And instead of, you know, jobbing out to Lesnar at Madison Square Garden and this past weekend and, you know, losing to Goldberg the way that he did and being in a comedy angle with Jericho. Samoa Joe could have come to the main roster sooner and been a killer and been treated as a star. We can go on and on. I mean, there is really good talent that they have, for whatever reason, not pushed into that star level. But Jason is part of it. They don't want people to become bigger than WWE. They want there to be some parity, so that there's a relative interchangeability, the wrestlers are relatively interchangeable so that nobody has too much power over management. Is that, whether it's overt or subconscious, something that also is at play?
Well, I mean, how do you explain Roman Reigns then? Is it just maybe based on the personality? Maybe if they feel like, well, this guy might not be the big team player and we want to kind of
like
keep
Ryback.
Him in check or something.
Well, like Ryback showed signs of, you know, like, oh, as soon as he got power, he was going to be impossible to deal with.
Yeah, maybe, you know, so yeah, I could see a case-by-case basis, but I don't think overall it really is a huge concern of theirs right now. I mean, it's just they put so much emphasis on the WWE brand, and I think it backfires on them. I think you should make the wrestlers front and center. I mean, WWE is always going to be there. I don't know when they shifted to this approach. If it is the Monday Night War, losing people, Hulk Hogan's of the world, but I wouldn't take that approach. I think you should be making these guys into as big a stars as possible. Yeah, John Cena has had some success, is having some success now in Hollywood. Dwayne Johnson has, but for every one of those guys, there's a bunch of guys who wouldn't really get anywhere in Hollywood. Batista's another example too. I think it's good for the brand when the company when they do. And I don't think you're going to miss out. You know, I just don't think there's enough guys on that roster that are going to have that type of appeal. I think it's been a few examples of guys who had success, and I just don't think you're going to have to worry about the majority of the roster, you know, leaving to pursue other things. I just don't think it should be in their top 10 list of concerns.
No. Make money with who you can and worry about the other stuff later. Kenny, anything else for us?
That's it for the day, guys. Appreciate all you do, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much. Thanks for holding, too. All right. I was looking at this EndNotes article, too, the editorial from that back issue. One of the keys to WrestleMania, I wrote, was, does Triple H still have it? There's been no evidence for a long time, years even, that Triple H is even 75% of the wrestler that he was during his peak years. He's got a big challenge at WrestleMania 22 against John Cena, who's still green in many ways after all these years. throw in the unpredictable crowd response, and it's tough to be confident this will be a worthy WrestleMania main event. Triple H at his peak could have carried Cena to a great match, but Hunter seems to have peaked too early, dropped off too rapidly. This does have a chance to be a match tonight. So interesting. It's just like you go back just 11 years, Jason, and it's 11 years is a long time, but it's amazing how at that snapshot in time, how we look at somebody, and then here we are 11 years later, and so much can change. Triple H, you know, has gone on to have it's with some mixed results. A number of very good matches since WrestleMania 22. The Seth Rollins thing I want to talk to you about. I want to get into more stuff from Raw with you in the VIP after show because we haven't talked a ton about Raw. I got stuff right now. I want to talk about the women's division matches on Raw and SmackDown, and I think genuine disappointment people have. Greg Parks writes about it in this week's Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, by the way, in a VIP exclusive column in the newsletter about how the women's revolution has come to a halt before WrestleMania because of these multi-woman matches and the lack of one star versus one star. I want to talk to you about that. Maybe more about Bring It to the Table. Maybe more about ROH, especially Christopher Daniels becoming the champion in the state of ROH after the 15th anniversary. I want to get your thoughts on the differences between TNA and ROH, both 15 years, celebrating 15 years this year. I talked on the Wade Keller Hotline for VIP members and on the VIP Bruce Mitchell audio show this weekend at length in part one with Bruce about the very different paths and philosophies of the two companies. So we'll bring that up. Also, Lucha Libre or Lucha Underground, on Netflix. Want to talk a little bit more about Josh Matthews. Want to talk a little bit more about what they said I'm bringing to the table about 205 Live. More about Kurt Angle. We got and that's not even counting the emails that are stored up. So a lot to come on the VIP after show. If you're listening live and you're a .NET member or VIP member, the show is not live. Jason and I simply record it right after this show goes off the air, and then we put it up later this afternoon on both of our respective sites. So if you're not a .NET member, Jason talked earlier about that. You can find out details at prowrestling.net. Click on the member info link. For PW Torch, I haven't talked about it yet. PW Torch VIP membership is available. You can go to pwtorch.com/govip. to get full details. I encourage you to check on the more information link if you want to read about the whole litany of new content every single week in audio format, newsletter format, ad-free access to our website, which is mobile-friendly. You can create a virtual app on your phone with a home screen button that looks fantastic, that gives you access to everything we add every day for VIP members, along with an ad-free experience for all the regular PW Torch daily content. And nearly 30 years of archives, nearly 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly newsletter, and so much more, including you can just lose yourself in the archives. We had someone on Twitter last night say at the Wade Keller on my account, they said, "Hey, Wade, I just signed up for VIP. My wife's cooking dinner. Can't wait till I'm done. I'm going to lose myself in the archives." And I feel that way right now. I want to go back and read my WrestleMania 22 issue, thanks to a caller bringing up the Shawn Michaels Vince match. This is fascinating. Just having my memory jarred with this back issue and our detailed coverage leading up to the show. Plus, by the way, 11 years ago, we had the Dawn Marie Torch Talk, which was fascinating. She had left WWE and talked about the McMahon family, drug testing, her frustration with the influx of divas and models and what was happening to the women's division. It was one of my favorite Torch Talks, and we're in the midst of that in this issue number 906. All the back issues available year by year by year. You just click a link, boom, the library from the late 80s through today, all listed by year. You can search for keywords and key events and dive in and read that. So here's some more details on going VIP, and then after that, Jason and I will record the VIP after show. So if you remember, look for that on the podcast feed. If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with a 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to pwtorchvip.com, and that is mobile friendly and PC and desktop friendly, and also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member one week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us. Thanks to our great callers. We got some great emails on deck for the VIP after show. So go ahead, if you're not, become a .NET member or PW Torch VIP member. Jason, always great talking to you. It is a fun time of the year with a mix of good and bad to talk about, but no shortage of topics, WWE and otherwise. But always great having you on the show.
Hey, good to be back, and I'll actually be back in a couple of weeks, as the plans a little bit earlier than usual. And I mentioned that that shorter address for .NET, our free audio content, pwaudio.net. That's the one to bookmark. pwaudio.net will get you right to our listing of free audio content.
Excellent. pwaudio.net, shortcut to get to this. If you want to hear more of Jason in the lead-up to WrestleMania, Jason will be back in 2 weeks. So you'll be on the week leading into WrestleMania, and then WrestleMania Sunday comes. So if you want to know what Jason thinks of WrestleMania, you're going to have to listen to Jason's audio shows at pwaudio.net, just like prowrestling.net. Okay, I got it. All right, thanks, Jason, and thanks to our listeners and emailers. And on the other side of this music, Jason and I have a lot more to talk about. My gosh, the notes I took and the emails that have come in, it's going to be a good VIP after show. So we hope you'll become a member. And until next time, on behalf of Jason Wade Keller, asking you to follow us on Twitter. I haven't mentioned this yet. At PWTorch, MMA Torch, and add the Wade Keller. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/PWTorch. Don't forget, tomorrow night after Impact, Mike McMahon and Andrew Socek. Tomorrow at 1 Eastern, Interview Thursday. Friday, Bruce Mitchell and Rich Fan are back. You can find out our upcoming schedule at pwtorchlivecast.com. This is live.